News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
Now, you will undoubtedly be familiar with how expensive it is when it comes time for back to school. And as with most things, it is a level of expense that tends to increase with every passing year. Barnardo's has run the numbers to break down where the expense comes from and what are the top ticket items. Stephen Moffat is with us. He's Barnardo's National Policy Manager. Stephen, you've done a fair bit of work on breaking down where all of the money goes and where is the most expensive phase of a child's education. Give us some of the highlights.
Yeah, so the biggest ticket items really for primary school students is uniforms. You know, we've seen the cost of those go up over the last number of years. A lot of schools are requiring crested uniforms, as well as now introducing, crested tracksuits. For secondary schools, we're seeing, more and more schools requiring parents to purchase specific digital devices, iPads, tablets, and laptops that are sometimes, upwards of €800-900. Voluntary contributions still remain quite high, although there has been some work done by the government over the last number of years on those. And then we're also seeing other costs that are sort of creeping up, school tours, extracurricular activities within schools, and in primary schools, classroom resources have begun to creep up over the last number of years.
Now, some of those, you could say, while they may be unpopular, there's a logic behind them. The uniforms is hard to justify when you look at the numbers that you've found. For first-year students, you've come up with an average cost of £230 on uniforms.
Yeah, so it's something that has snuck up over the last number of years, and it does vary across schools. Some schools will be less than that. Some schools will actually, unfortunately, be considerably more than that. So there is guidance from the Department of Education that schools should try and have, options for iron-on crests and things like that. But unfortunately, not enough schools are doing that. So many parents are in touch with us, responding to the survey, saying their huge frustration that they have to go to a specific shop, and buy an entire uniform together. They can't even buy just a jumper alone. They're having to buy pants, the tracksuit in one particular shop. They can't go to get a generic tracksuit or generic uniform in a supermarket and iron on a crest. And that adds, for parents who might have two or three children in school, that's adding hundreds of euros on all at one specific time of the year when they are, for a lot of those families, are already struggling.
And when they also have to find the cash for the contribution that is still termed voluntary. You're saying the numbers for fifth year students on the voluntary contribution coming in and around £150 a year.
Yeah, and that's something that's remained, unfortunately, around that level over the last number of years, despite governments trying to make some increases to capitation grant. For a lot of parents, one of the frustrations is they don't really know where that money's going. So they're not being told by schools exactly what that's covering. We don't think schools should be reliant. I know a lot of principals don't like having to ask for voluntary contributions. But unfortunately, parents are put under a lot of pressure. They don't feel like it's voluntary. They feel like if they don't pay, there might be, something happen to their child. They might be excluded from, say, access to lockers. That's one concern for parents. Or they might feel that, other students are going to find out, or that people within their community will find out that they haven't paid a voluntary contribution. So despite being under financial pressure, they do end up paying it. And that might mean having to miss out or go without some other expense that week or that month.
Now, it strikes me that from Barnardo's perspective, there is among these numbers a fairly significant canary in the coal mine when it comes to what the future looks like in terms of the division between rich and poor. Because the single highest expenditure that you list for back-to-school items for secondary students is digital tools. £490 for going into first year to get tablets or whatever other digital devices are required. That's a pile of cash. And for a lot of parents, that cash won't be available.
Yeah, it's an absolutely huge amount. And I should caveat that about 40% of schools or parents we're talking to weren't required to have any digital devices. So actually, if you were required to purchase an item, it's actually, that average is actually, closer to €700-800 when you take out those who weren't asked. It's a huge amount of money. It's putting huge pressure on parents. And for parents, if you have a couple of children going into secondary school, it's your ability to find that money is really, really restricted. You're being told you have to buy specific items. So it's not just purchase a laptop, it's purchase a specific laptop. You have to go through the school. You know, so if your parents had a spare laptop, you can't use that. You know, for low-income families, suddenly being hit with this in the middle of the summer when there's additional expenses for trying to keep children entertained, that's a huge hit. I spoke to a parent a couple of weeks ago. You know, her child was going into first year in school. There was two local schools she was choosing from. One school was an €890 laptop she had to purchase. The other, there was no digital device. She leaned towards the school with no digital device cost. That shouldn't be having any impact on where a child goes.
But isn't that also, I mean, to some extent you would think, well, isn't it great that there are some schools that aren't requiring parents to find this extra money? But isn't that to some extent the problem? That there are some schools where the board of management and the principals will say, well, look, our cohort of parents can afford this, therefore the students will get the best tools available for them. And other schools will have to make the choice that says, we don't think our community can afford it, therefore we will lag behind what other students are getting because they're wealthier.
Yeah, and I suppose the response to that is sort of twofold. One is that individual schools need to be doing the best for all children within their communities, all parents, not putting parents under financial pressures. So if they are having digital devices required in schools, they need to look at the most affordable options and make sure no child within their, that could be going through school is going to be disadvantaged or parents put under huge financial pressures. That's just the best interest of the child. And secondly, the Department of Education really need to look at this and see if there are children being left behind. You know, are there children going to schools that are really put under pressure who, you know, families just aren't able to pay that amount? You know, so it's two things, local schools and nationally, the government needs to step in.
Stephen, thank you. Stephen Moffat, Barnardo's National Policy Manager there. 53106, if you have a view, or 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.